Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and I appreciate you being with me today. Today's perspective comes from Toby Passman. He is a neurotherapist. He is right now based in Oregon. He is going to be moving his operation down to Miami, Florida. He is a millennial, a member of Generation Y, and he joins us today. Toby, thanks for being here, man.
Rob, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, because I'm not familiar with what a neurotherapist is.
As I'm sure a lot of people aren't, it's kind of a new emerging role, I'd say, in healthcare. So how I got into this work, I would say I kind of always had this curiosity revolving around, you know, why we think the way we do, why our brains work the way they do. And that curiosity led me into taking some psychology classes in college. And I really fell in love with a biopsychology class where we understood kind of the biological basis, the electrical and chemical functioning of the brain. And the fact that we could actually measure that was super cool to me. So I ended up working in what's called an EEG lab. So EEG is short for an electroencephalogram, which is basically a swim cap looking device that is placed on a person's head and is able to actually record the electrical activity that emanates from your brain up to your scalp. So we're actually able to detect the electrical, what are called brain waves. And that kind of led me, that was kind of my introduction to this kind of field of neurotechnology, if you will. And then a couple years after college, I took a job working at a substance abuse and mental health treatment facility in South Florida, where I was actually using neurotechnology to actually alter the EEG. So because with the EEG, we're able to see which areas of the brain are producing healthy quantities of the different brain waves. When that is not the case, when there's abnormal electrical activity, which can result, you know, from head injuries, substance abuse, mental health conditions, we can actually use certain types of neurotechnology to actually alter the electrical brain waves. And that's kind of the role of a neurotherapist.
Very interesting. So from my own personal perspective, I've got a spinal cord injury, so I'm kind of paralyzed from the chest down. And I've seen a lot of work in controlling things with your brain waves. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, there was a guy who like learned how to fly a plane using an EEG connection. So played flight simulator through it just based on stimulating different areas of the brain. So it's very interesting and fascinating from both a practical perspective as well as the behavioral perspective. Can you tell me, what does quality healthcare mean to you?
Quality healthcare, I would say, from kind of my role as a neurotherapist, I would say is, you know, comprehensive and holistic. So, you know, the brain is a very complicated, you know, they call it kind of the most complicated thing in the entire universe. You know, there's still a lot we don't understand about the brain, but from what we do, you know, there's a lot of different kind of ways we can go about working to enhance the brain. And I think from, you know, what I've learned just in my role in healthcare, it's often not one thing. It's often kind of a holistic collection of different kind of treatment modalities and making sure you, you know, take care of the basics like diet, exercise, sleep. You know, some of those things are, I think, the most important, honestly, for just brain health when we zoom in on that. And you know, making sure that it's, you know, a holistic approach, I think is how I view quality healthcare.
Okay. You used two words, and you used holistic and you used comprehensive. And I thought you kind of gave me a definition for holistic. Can you talk to me about that concept of comprehensive?
Yes. So when it comes to neurotherapy, you know, it's super important that we are, you know, doing a comprehensive intake. So what we usually do is kind of do an assessment where we're taking a patient's full kind of medical psychiatric history, taking notes of any head injuries that they may have had in the past, making sure to ask that question a second and third time, because oftentimes people forget about, you know, a certain head injury and we'll have to really probe. But making sure to really do a thorough assessment along with doing an EEG recording to actually see what's going on with the brain and, you know, what brainwave frequencies are dysregulated and in which areas of the brain that's occurring. Because then with the neurotechnology that I use, it can be very targeted based on what we're seeing in the EEG. So, you know, there's certain just like kind of consumer devices, I would say, that people can, you know, buy and kind of play around with these pieces of neurotechnology, but they're not, you know, you don't know necessarily which direction to push your brain in if you don't actually do that full comprehensive intake assessment, you know, pairing, you know, the self-report, you know, what people are actually experiencing and their full kind of health history, pairing that with the electrical brain data, that gives us a very comprehensive picture of, you know, what is going on for each individual, either, you know, patient or client, depending on whether I'm doing this in a clinical or peak performance setting. But, you know, that's really, I found, the best approach in terms of getting people the best results is making sure that we have the best idea of, you know, all of the different factors that are going into, you know, a person's brain health.
Okay. Can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
I'd say an example of quality healthcare in my kind of line of work would be doing what are called these brain maps, which are basically a version of the EEG, where we're able to then visualize the electrical activity of the brain, and doing one of these brain maps when someone comes in, and then actually based on or kind of doing around a course of treatment. So whether that be using a technology like neurofeedback, neurostimulation, audiovisual entrainment, there's a couple other ones that I use too, but basically putting someone on a round of kind of neurotherapy and then doing a follow-up assessment, a follow-up brain map to see how that's affecting the brain. So making sure that we actually track, you know, both a person's, you know, subjective, you know, what their, you know, their symptoms and how they're feeling, along with what we're actually seeing objectively with the electrical data, is super powerful in terms of just being able to see, you know, what protocol might work well for a certain patient or client. Maybe we need to modify that protocol. And I think, you know, quality healthcare in my kind of line of work as a neurotherapist is, you know, kind of having the humility to realize, you know, the brain is, as I was saying, is so complicated. We might put someone on a protocol that, you know, based on the initial brain map, you know, we might think is going to be really beneficial to them, but it doesn't always turn out that way. So it's kind of an art and a science in terms of kind of selecting, you know, these protocols for people, these neurotherapy protocols, but, you know, making sure that we do, you know, periodic reassessments and make sure that people are really on the right track, I would say, is my kind of definition of quality healthcare as a neurotherapist.
So it's not just the initial, I don't know if the right word is diagnosis, but it's not the initial finding, but it's the continued follow-up of the finding to make sure that the path of treatment is actually being as effectively dealing with what you're looking at. I understand that, I think.
Exactly.
What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare, besides the fact that just understanding that it exists, maybe?
Right. Well, I would say, a lot of the work that I do is with a technology called neurostimulation. And oftentimes what ends up happening when I tell people about neurostimulation, their minds go to, ECT, the sort of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the treatment of like kind of the shock therapy that they'd use in psychiatric wards back kind of in the 1950s and 60s. It still is a treatment that's used at times today in really rare kind of intractable cases of depression. But what the work that I do with neurostimulation is much different than that. So that's a kind of a common misconception that people have about, what I'm doing as, a neurotherapist, is the fact that neurostimulation is really a non-invasive, low intensity electrical current that is being delivered to the brain to gently guide the brain into certain brainwave patterns that it may not be producing very well on its own. So kind of in the way that, if you're learning to ride a bike, training wheels might be really helpful in kind of, helping you just get on that bike. This sort of neurostimulation is really, really powerful in terms of just gently guiding the brain into the brainwave patterns that we're wanting to see. And then people are able to actually produce those patterns on their own without kind of needing additional sessions. But, I would say, so that's kind of a common misconception and something that, I think as the field of neurotherapy continues to expand and, more people either know someone who's participated in neurotherapy or they've, done it themselves, they're going to start realizing that, the neurotechnology that we have, in 2021 is much, much different than what we were doing 50, 60 years ago. But a lot of people don't realize that yet.
Got it. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
I am really excited with the fact that I think neurotechnology really has the power to revolutionize. And I know that that may sound a bit hyperbolic, but I truly believe it has the power to revolutionize, say, the fields of, psychiatry, neurology, cases where, people have been on, a different, cocktail of medications that may not be, helping them too much. And they're suffering from these chronic mental health conditions. I feel like a lot of that is, we're going to start seeing that change. And in addition to just like the work that I do with neurotherapy, I'm really excited with starting to see, the usage of certain like psychedelic therapies that are coming into play. So for instance, like MDMA therapy, MDMA assisted psychotherapy, I believe is being fast-tracked by the FDA. So I believe it's going to be available to veterans for PTSD in the next couple of years. And, they're also doing a lot of really cool research with psilocybin, which people might more commonly know as like magic mushrooms. And they're finding incredible results with treating depression, certain cases of end of life anxiety, certain things that, traditional psychiatry and psychology have had really difficult times addressing. We're starting to see these newer technologies and therapies, I think, that are going to really just completely change the landscape of this type of healthcare.
Just for the sake of reference, can you give me, what does MDMA stand for?
Yeah, so MDMA is, MDMA is short for, think on the full name, it's MDMA is ecstasy. So, or it's what ecstasy is supposed to be. So MDMA, the full name, the reason that I was having such a difficult time remembering that is it's methylene dioxymethamphetamine.
Okay.
Got it's it. Kind of a mouthful.
Sure.
But yeah, people might also more commonly know that as ecstasy.
Okay.
So something that's been traditionally, you know, thought of as just a recreational drug that people would take at, you know, parties, raves, you know, they're seeing really cool research that it can treat, you know, certain forms of depression, PTSD, other kind of chronic health conditions.
Okay. Thank you very much. Sorry to put you on the spot like that. Lastly, what is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
I would say medical professionals can start incorporating neurotherapy more so into their practice. I think that, you know, the way I see it kind of going forward, I think it would be awesome if, say, general, you know, your general practitioner, your family doctor was able to just do an EEG recording with you, say every year, say, you know, at your yearly checkup, if they were able to do a yearly EEG, which is not that difficult to record, you know, it's, you know, maybe an hour long process, you know, and it's non-invasive, doesn't hurt the patient at all. And it can provide really quite a lot of information as far as what a person's brain is doing. I think that would be super cool if we started seeing that as just being, you know, in the same way that, you know, we get our blood pressure checked. We go in for lab testing, and, you know, I think regularizing or normalizing rather the use of some of this neurotechnology, such as doing these EEG recordings, could really change things in a huge way. Because like, say, for instance, if this, you know, kind of what I'm proposing, if this was to happen, say, you know, you were going in every year and you were getting an EEG done, and they're kind of tracking your brain data over the years. And then, you know, say you went into your doctor and said, you know, gosh, doc, you know, I can't think clearly lately. I've lost my memory. I'm having these weird cognitive symptoms, you know, then we could look at, okay, what is the brain doing right now? And how is that different from the last EEG that you had done in which you were feeling a lot better? So I think, you know, incorporating neurotechnology and neurotherapy into, you know, it could go as broad as your general practitioner. But I think that could be super powerful going forward in the future.
Right. So I'm hearing you say basically making sure that the brain is included as part of the general healthcare that's being provided. Listen, Toby, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts, and I really appreciate your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.